The path of Chassidus is a paved road. It is, Baruch Hashem, a broad, sealed, sturdy, clear road. But for various reasons involving certain young Chassidim, who study Chassidus by their own approaches, a few weeds, Chas V'Shalom, begin to appear on the paved road. This means that one's own eye, the eye that has grasped something, the eye that forces away the very divine presence, makes Chassidus cease being Chassidus. As has been said earlier, the study of Chassidus unaccompanied by practical avodah and the refinement of one's character traits is not Chassidus. But of course, we are not dealing with fools. No doubt, this kind of study does not exist. This being the difference between the wisdom of the holy side of creation and the wisdom stemming from the other side, except in isolated cases. This needs to be rectified, and the Almighty will grant His help. My great uncle Rabbi Yehuda Leib once sat at a farbringen of his father, the Tzemach Tzedek. Rabbi Yehuda Leib was a man of varied states of mind. There were times when he was in high spirits, in the sense of the verse Vayigbal Libay Bedarchei Hashem, his heart was lifted up in the ways of Hashem. And his gladness of heart found characteristics expression in the singing which accompanied his prayers. At other times he was anxious and melancholy. At that farbringen he gave vent to his distresses. Where is Chassidus? Where does one find people practicing Aveda? Where does one find people steeped in Haskalah? And his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, replied, what do you think my grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, expected from Chassidim and Chassidus? He wanted to do away with the state of affairs described in the Holy Zohar. Hearts are stopped up, eyes are closed, people see and know not what they see. So Baruch Hashem, with self-sacrifice, he brought it about that Chassidus should accomplish the opposite. Hearts that are open, and eyes that are open, and know what they see. There were times when Chassidus meant Aveda, and one began with oneself. Nowadays there are those for whom Chassidus becomes a cause of haughtiness, plain ego, and for whom Aveda begins by dispraising one's fellow, which is of course the exact antithesis of what Chassidus demands. But, despite all of this, one should not become despondent. Each person should be bound to Chassidus, for when one is bound, one does not fall. All in all, it's about time to arrive at the truth. The Alter Rebbe's liberation took place at the time of the afternoon Mincha prayer. During the three prayers of that last day, he had with him the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid of Mezritch. As is well known, the 3 hours immediately following his release, which he spent in the home of one of the Masnagdim, caused him more distress than his entire imprisonment. For once he had vindicated his cause, since his imprisonment was a spiritual matter and that it hinged on spiritual considerations, his bodily needs were of no interest to him. What with being in the company of the Maggid and hearing the Baal Shem Tov, one can well imagine that the Alter Rebbe would not have minded remaining in prison for another 3 hours or even another whole day. So it was that when he was brought the news that he was now free, he had no desire to leave. Many years after the events of Tavkuf Nun Tes 1798, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev challenged the Alter Rebbe with the following question. Why did you burden your shoulders with so much? More even than the Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezritch, intended. For there was so much suffering for Jewry in general and so much anguish on high, as well as your own spiritual and physical distresses. The same ends could have been achieved through Makifim, encompassing lights, in other words, supernatural means. The Alter Rebbe replied, the Almighty desired to have an abode below, in other words, in the lowest of all worlds. Atzmus desired to have an abode below. On the plane of Makifim, a thing may be either so or otherwise. On the plane of Pnimius, the middle line, the attribute of Yaakov, which is the level of truth, there is no such thing as imaginary truth. Truth is exactly so and not otherwise. In Cheder Aleph, which the Alter Rebbe founded in Tavkuf Lamed Ches 1778, there were 15 students whose entrance requirements included a thorough knowledge of the Talmud, Midrash, the Ikrim, and the Kuzari, and a familiarity with the Zohar. For 5 years, the Alter Rebbe taught them as if he were locked in there. Apart from essential journeys, as is known, this was a period during which some of his journeys were undertaken secretly. Cheder Beis was founded in Tavkuf Mem 1780, and Cheder Gimel in Tavkuf Mem Beis 1782. The period of study of these three levels was 3 years. From this time onward, the Alter Rebbe's disciples spread out widely and began to disseminate the teachings of Chassidus and its paths in divine service, with the result that the Chassidim and men of good deed abounded. The Alter Rebbe's activities in the spreading of Chassidus were remarkably well organized. Some of his emissaries were sent out secretly to arouse in their listeners a desire to find their way to the path of Chassidus. Some were dispatched to remote regions. He sent his disciple Rav Moshe Belenker, for example, to Bessarabia, with the instruction that he should not return to him until he had completed his task. This took him, in fact, 15 months, and the fruits of his stay included the well-known Chassid Rav Yitzchak of Jassy and the Chassidim of Kalarash. When the Tzemach Tzedek was slandered to the authorities for the fifth time in Tafri Shud Tes 1859, and was undergoing considerable suffering, he told his son, the Rebbe Maharash, "When I was a child, I was brought up in the home of my grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, for he had lost his mother. During the blowing of the shofar and during the blessing of the Kohenim, he would take me under his talis. For tekiyos until the age of 9, and for the priestly blessing until my marriage. When it came to the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Tavkuf Nun Tes 1798, I saw that during the forthcoming year my grandfather would undergo great distress. The salvation I did not see, evidently because it was not a complete deliverance." This year, Tafresh Tzadik Gimel 1932-1933 marks the centenary of two important and connected events in Lubavitch history. It will be a century since my great-grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek, bought the site on which he was to build his house, and a century since the birth of my grandfather, the Rebbe Maharash. In the days when the Maggid of Mizritch was still alive, the Alter Rebbe was once about to leave Mizritch for home. As the Maggid's son, Rebbe Avram the Malach, the angel, was seeing him off, he said to the wagon driver, "One has to whip the horses until they stop being horses, or according to another version, until they know that they are horses." Hearing this, the Alter Rebbe reacted by saying that he had now learned a new path in divine service. He therefore deferred his departure and stayed on for some time in Mizritch. In Tavkuf Lamed Gimel, 1773, the year following the passing of the Maggid, the Alter Rebbe spent over 2 months visiting Rebbe Avraham the Malach, whom he called Rabbi Berabi or Rabbi Verivi, and after his passing, he visited Rebbe Nachem Mendel of Vitebsk several times. In Tafresh Nun Ches 1897, my father, the Rebbe Rashab, sent 17 students to Jebin to study under the tutelage of Reb Shmuel Greinum Esterman. I have my father's manuscript list with his comments on the talents, character attributes, and level of ethical achievement of each of these young men, as well as a comprehensive evaluation of where each of them stood. That was in the beginning of Tafresh Nun Ches 1897. The Taimchi Tamimim Yeshiva had been founded on Tes Vav Elul, Tafresh Nun Zayin, 1897. And at the end of late 1898, these students returned to Lubavitch. During the Hakafis of Simchas Torah, my father began reading aloud, "Taimich Tamimim Hoshiyana, supporter of the sincere ones, help us. We beseech you." At this point, he broke off and said, What kind of a question is there as to what the yeshiva should be called? Why, it is written explicitly," and this he read in the traditional chant of Simchas Torah, "Toimchei temimim hoishiyana, takif la'ad hatzlichana, tamim b'masav aneinu b'yoyim kareinu, supporters of the sincere ones, help us, eternally invincible one, grant success, he who is perfect in his ways, answer us on the day we call." And then announced loudly, "The yeshiva is called Taimchei Tamimim, and I ask of everyone, those who are present and those who are not, Hayishiyana, Help us, I beseech you, and in exchange I promise the blessings of Hatzlichana, grant success.